Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Oh, just busy. Story of my life.
The story of all our lives. You're the only one on, I think.
Yes.
Okay. I have not had a chance to check the Adar dates, the first few, like you asked me to. I will try and get to it today.
Okay. Brandela.
Good morning.
Morning.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute now.
Okay. So we are going to be studying Psalm 77 today. And you can find the handouts on the Unique Astrological Times link, which is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yesheb web page, or on the mobile devices, it's usually at the bottom of the page. And when that landing page opens up, scroll down to the section titled Ta'anit Dibur. We will have basically three documents we'll be looking at. One is the Psalms landing page, number 2, covering Psalms 69 to 150. And the other is the Nechom Mamre, Psalms page, where you'll need to scroll down to Tehillim 77 or Psalm 77. And the third one is Rabbi Sutton's PDF, Yearning for Redemption. I'm getting some static, so please make sure that your phones are muted. Thank you. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud, and then we'll start with the Psalms landing page. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bitchilu Urchimu Utchilu Utchilu Urchimu Liakta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe V'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah V'ayhino Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kanonei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Kanoneihu. Tehillim 77. The message of this psalm is that to brood on sorrow is to be broken and disheartened, while to see Hashem is to sing on the darkest day. Once we come to know that our years are of His right hand, there is light everywhere. Once we leave sorrow behind, we make hope for joy and happiness. The above kavanah is a good kavanah to use when saying this psalm. The first word is lamnatseach, which is a pruning tool, a cutting or a pruning tool, and you can read much more, and I highly recommend you reading all of the introduction to the Yearning for Redemption PDF. There are 21 verses in Psalm 77. 21 is a number that connects to the name Etieh. Etieh is I am which I am, or I am who I am. It's the name of God that the burning bush told Moses, God told Moses, to tell the children of Israel. When they asked for his name was Etieh Asher Etieh. I am who I will always be, is another way of translating that. The number 21 connects to Hebrew words that translates as my holiday or my feast. His issue and Hod, which is and the Sephirah of Hod, but it's also the energy of appreciation and thankfulness, which is how we relate and bring joy into our life. Then there are two links. Yes?
Excuse me. I'm wondering, could it also have a personal meaning to mean I am what you need me to be? I've always taken it to that meaning for myself. I am that I am. I am whatever you need me to be.
I understand the question. I'm trying to relate to the typical misunderstanding. Your statement was, I am what I need you to be. But what I need you to be, meaning a human being needing Hashem to be, is that necessarily the best thing for that person? In which case, Hashem would not become that thing the person is saying, I need. So if you wanted to say that it's, I am what I desire that is good for me to be, I could go along with that. That doesn't mean
it's
that
like
you're incorrect, Anna. Doesn't mean you're incorrect.
It's what I'm thinking
you,
about.
As you start, let me finish, please. As you started, you asked the question as a personal relationship to that name. And every human being can have a personal relationship that feels right for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a, keep going, continue if you wish. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, well, it's okay. It's hard to know when you finish sometimes.
Yes,
I'm thinking of
that.
The day that you feel like you need strength. And so you ask Hashem to be your strength. I mean, that's the kind of example that I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of, you know, when my mother passed away and I was still teaching and I took several days off. But then when I went back to work, I mean, I was physically tired as well as, you know, emotional and having to carry on, you know. So I needed Hashem's strength. And that's the kind of thing, that I was thinking of, which was a wonderful thing because I felt like there was a staff inside of me holding me up. I could feel it physically. And I would open my mouth and I would teach, but I'm telling you, it was not me that was talking. So that's why that name has meant something to me personally. So that's about all I have to say.
I appreciate and thank you for sharing that personal story. The name F.E.A. Asher F.E.A. connects very strongly to the world that is coming, which is Bina. And in that world, each person will have a relationship with the Creator, similar to the relationships that the Kabbalists have today. Or you really should say the Kabbalists had in earlier generations. So we will begin with the Yearning for Redemption PDF. I always like to begin there with, because of Rabbi Sutton's translations and also his footnotes. Tehillim 77, verse 1. Lam natseach al yedutun le'asah mizmor. Lam natseach al yedutun. Dedicated to the one who grants spiritual fortitude to weather the judgments meted out by the hand of his divine providence. A cutting psalm of or by Asaph. Footnote 96. On Psalm 39, chapter 39, verse 1, Hirsch writes, in Babas Batra, in 14b, Yedutun is mentioned among the psalmists whose songs are contained in the Sefer Tehillim. In Psalm 77, however, the superscription reads, Lam Natseach al Yedutun. In this psalm, too, Psalm 39, as in Psalm 77, Yedutun would be part of the description of the contents of the psalm, rather than the name of a person. From the root yad, hand, it would be refer here to an act of God's hand, part of the providence of his almighty power. Yedutun expresses God's sovereignty in general, as well as individual acts of divine providence. You have to read the introduction to truly understand what is the definition of divine providence. It's a term that people use. It has a Hebrew term that gets translated in a number of different ways, but all describing coincidence that isn't coincidence. Describing how Hashem hides him or conceals himself in history. How Hashem conceals himself in natural events that are timed coincidentally. We're in the week of Beshalach, Parasha Beshalach, the splitting of the Yam Suf. And I was reading an essay, an article, a drash, and I don't remember which organization or which rabbi wrote this particular commentary, but it was really beautiful because it describes the verse in the Torah that's part of the 72 names of God. I believe it's verse 21, that describes the sea was split by a strong east wind. Now, the east is the rising of the sun. The east is the connection to chesed, to loving kindness. A wind is the ruach. So it's the soul of the loving kindness. That's what split the sea. But this commentator said it wasn't that the sea split. It was that the timing of the sea splitting was when it was needed. Yes, we learn that it takes certainty to make the sea split, to eliminate the limitations and the blockages we've created in our own lives. But the timing is what was important. And I think that's such a beautiful thought that I'm sharing it with you at this moment. But now I would like to go to the Nechon Mamre translation. And it's a much simpler one. For the leader, for Yedutun, a psalm of Asaph. You can see how significant Rabbi Ashlag's translation is, and especially with his comment where he's trying to explain why he put in the words divine providence, why he's trying to explain this word that one sage said was a human being who wrote a psalm, and here he's explaining it in a totally different way. Now, I'm staying on the Nechon Mamre just because it's easier to translating, and we'll go back. But verse 2, Koli el Elohim v'yetzaka, Koli el Elohim v'ha'azin elai. I will lift up my voice to Elohim and cry. I will lift up my voice to Elohim, that he may give ear unto me. The second verse in the yearning for redemption. I, Israel, lift up my voice to Elohim, Hashem's attribute of justice, and I cry out. I, Israel, lift up my voice to Elohim, and he listens to me. The third verse, well, there are 9 words in this Hebrew verse. And there are 37 letters, and we've said repeatedly the number 37 is the concealed aspect of the world that is coming, the concealed aspect of the Sefirah of Bina. The third verse, Yom Sarati Adonai Dirashti Yadi Laila Nigra Wiloha Hapug Meana Inachem Nafshi. On the day of my distress, I sought you, Adonai, which is the Shekhinah, God's indwelling presence that accompanies the souls of Israel in exile. In the night of my exile, my hand, the suffering dealt me, is long drawn out and does not subside. My soul refuses to be consoled. Rashi, Radak, and Mitzudot. I'm looking at the footnote 97. Mitzudot, David, understand Yadi, my hand, as Makati, my wound, my suffering. As in Exodus 9:3, behold, Hashem's hand will be against your livestock. And the entire phrase, Yadi Iyala Nigra Velo Tafug, as in this exile, which is like nighttime, it, my hand, my wound, my suffering, flows with pus and bitterness that does not cease. The Targum Yamathan understands, on the day of my affliction, I sought instruction from Hashem that he would bring his spirit of prophecy upon me. As in Ezekiel 37:1, Haita alal yad Hashem, God's the hand was upon me. And in 2 Kings, Vatahi alai yad Hashem, God's hand came upon me. Indicating prophecy. In the night, my eye flowed with tears that would not cease. Hirsch writes, I sought God's support, but my hand with which I sought to cling to him for support melted and flowed away into the night without ceasing. I was unable to acquire the spiritual and moral energy. I needed to soar up to Hashem. Indeed, my strength failed perceptibly and ebbed away into the night of suffering, which was round about me. Human beings speak of suffering sometimes as a complaint, and sometimes, rarely, but sometimes, a human being can realize that suffering is for their own benefit. Their suffering is the cleansing. But the suffering that they're receiving, that seems to go on forever and ever, does go on forever and ever, because we cannot handle that suffering all at once. This is Hashem's loving kindness. Yes, you get the suffering. Did you have to have the suffering? You did the action, you could get the result, the boomerang law. But the result can be all at once, or the result can be spread out over months and years and lifetimes. Which is preferred? It's a difficult question to answer. I'm going to the Machon Mamre for its translation. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. With my hand uplifted, mine eye streams in the night without ceasing. My soul refuses to be comforted. It's quite a bit of difference in the translation that Rabbi Sutt gave us. The fourth verse, reading from the Machon Mamre. Ezkira Elohim v'yechemaya asitcha v'titatev ruchi sela. When I think thereon, Elohim, I must moan. When I muse thereon, my spirit faints. Selah. Contemplate this verse. When I think thereon, I must moan. I feel the pain and I must express it. That's a moan. When I muse thereon, to notice the difference in words from I think to I muse, my spirit faints. My spirit recognizes the cleansing that I need to go through. Rabbi Sutton's PDF. Elohim, I remember you when I reflect upon the kindness that you have done for me in the past, and I groan. I try to speak, but my spirit is enshrouded in darkness, wondering if you will ever take more notice of me again. Selah. Footnote 98. Why does his spirit refuse to be consoled? Rashi says, when I remember Hashem's former kindnesses, that they are no more, that I had been abandoned. Excuse me, when I remember Hashem's former kindnesses embodied symbolically in Hashem's right hand, and I contemplate and meditate and reflect upon those kindnesses, that they are no more, that I have been abandoned, I become faint. Hirsch, another commentator from the 1800s, when I wish to reflect upon God, I become agitated. If I attempt to meditate, to activate my intellect, my spirit becomes enshrouded. My every effort at spiritual growth ends in failure. Another commentator, the more he remembers Hashem's right hand, support in former times, the more he feels abandoned. This is the meaning of Amaya, groaning and wailing from a sense. And you have to go down to the next page to finish the footnote. I feel abandonment followed by Sicha, whispering that borders on complete silence. And finally, Betitatef Ruchi, which means enshrouded spirit, and indicates a state of swooning from weakness to the point of fainting. I'm returning to the previous page, the last verse, to count the letters and words. Seven words connects to the unity of Zeran Pin and Malchut. The number 34 is Dalid Lamed, the word Dal, which means poorness, lack. It's reinforcing this idea that we can feel abandoned, but we are never abandoned. And it's something we just have to know. We have to experience feeling abandoned and knowing that the feeling is false. The fifth verse. Ahasta shemu rot einai nifamti willo adaber. You hold open the guardians of my eyes, my eyelids, thereby preventing me from sleeping. I feel crushed and broken and cannot speak. Footnote 99. The commentator Metsutot David, from the magnitude of my pain, I am unable to sleep, for it is as if you are holding my eyelids open and preventing me from sleeping. Only Rashi sees this as if he cannot open his eyes. Shmurot, the guardians, refer to Ashmurot Laila, divisions, literally guard watches of the night. Times when a person awakens from his sleep refreshed. This is not so of me. During this night of exile, my eyelids are glued together, like a man who has fallen into a deep sleep as a result of the unbearable suffering he endures. Hirsch, another commentator from, I earlier said the 1800s, he's really the late 1700s. Israel cries out in exile, and in addition to all this agony, you have held fast the guards, the lids of my eyes, so that I stared out sleeplessly into the night. And nifamti, I feel as if I have been crushed, literally stunned by the blow of a hammer. I became as one paralyzed. We're in pain. We cannot go to sleep. So we feel the pain more intensely. It speeds the process. And always remember, Hashem never gives us more than we can handle. Mechon Mamre, English translation on verse 5. Thou hold fast the lids of mine eyes. I am troubled and cannot speak. Verse 6. Chishavti yamim mikedem shenot olamim. I have pondered the days of old, the years of ancient times. There are six words. Zeramtin, not connected to Malchut. There are five words in verse six. I'm sorry, not six. Five words in verse six. And these five words connect to the five worlds. Twenty-three letters. We've discussed the number 23 as a something that will appear in the world that is coming. There will be a 23rd Hebrew letter. I'm in the Yearning for Redemption PDF. I'm going to be reading verse 7. Ezkira neginati balaila im levavi asicha vachafes ruchi. I recall my song in the night during this long exile, which is likened to night. I remember the song I joyously played when I felt your love, and how the awareness of your presence was thus awakened within my heart. I converse with my heart, and my spirit searchingly asks. The Mechon Mamre. In the night I will call to remembrance my song. I will commune with mine own heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. There are 8 words in this connecting to the world that is coming, connecting to Bina. Thirty-six letters connecting to the 36 righteous people, the 36 tzaddikim. What makes someone righteous? What makes someone a tzaddik or a tzaddeket? They think before they speak. And that's the hint in this verse. The 8th verse.
Haleolamim ya'isnach Adonai. Velo Yosef Lirzot Od.
Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Returning to the Yearning for Redemption. Adonai, will you desert me and cast me off forever? Will you never again desire me and let me find favor in your eyes as you once did? Footnote 100. The commentator Malbim. Once Hashem wants something, it is forever. It is thus impossible that he would forsake us completely and forever. Thus, if now he has distanced himself from us, it is because he made his closeness to us conditional on our actions. If so, if we return to him and better our ways, his will revealed that his original positive desire toward us has never changed. There are 7 words in verse 8. connecting to Zerantin and Malchut in unity. Letters connects to the name of God, El, Aleph Lamed. The ninth verse. Ha'afes la'netzach hazdo gamar Omer l'dor wa'dor. Have you canceled out? Have you rescinded your loving kindness forever? Have you unalterably declared, decreed and sworn that you will not restrain your anger for generation upon generation? Seven words connecting to Zerampin and Malchut. Twenty-four letters connecting to the unity of day and night, 12 hours of each. Please notice in the Hebrew that both dor and vador lack the vav between the dalet and the resh. If we look at dor vador, we look at the word dor spelled dalet resh, and translated by the letters, it's a doorway to the head, a doorway to lack. Which will it be? In this verse, it's unified because Zerampin and Malchut are together. So it's a doorway to the head. I'm going to read the Mechon Mamre English translation of verse 9. Is his mercy clean gone forever? Is his promise come to an end forevermore? The 10th verse in Hebrew. Ha-shakach ha-not el im kafetz ba'af rachamav selah. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassions? Selah. One comment about the Hebrew. The second word, chanoch, is being translated as gracious. And it is the Shoresh's Chen, Chet Nun. As we've been taught, Chet Nun stands for Chachma Nestar, concealed wisdom. But why is it in the plural in this verse? Rabbi Sutton's translation on verse 9. Have you canceled out? We've already done Rabbi Sutton's English translation. And I think you will agree with me, it's a much better translation, gives us much more insight than the Mechon Mamre's translation does. The 10th verse. Ha shakach ha not
El im kafats be'af rachamal selah. O loving El, O loving God, have you forgotten how to show graciousness, how to be merciful and loving even if and when we are not deserving? Have you angrily shut off your compassion forever, never to openly reveal it again? Selah. The Mochon Mamre, translation of verse 10. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassions? Selah. Eight words connecting to the world that is coming, connecting to Bina. Six letters connecting directly to Hashem. The 11th verse. Vayomar haloti hi shenot yamin yael yom. And I say, this is my weakness, that the right hand of the Most High could change. Rabbi Ashlag's, Rabbi Ashlag's English translation. Then I said, well, then I realized, it is to inspire me with awe and trembling, and thereby to bring me to repentance. That is why the loving right hand of the Most High has changed. Footnote 101. I think you'll accept that the Mochon Mamre translation is much weaker and less revealing than the Rabbi Sutton's translation. Footnote 101. Vayomer halotihi. Rashi and Mitzutzot David understand haloti as lechachaloti. La Yareni, to cause me to tremble, to frighten me, to bring me to awe. From Chil V'Ra'ada, fear and trembling, in order to bring me to repentance, based on the noun Chalal, a corpse. Radak sees it as death, and thus translates the entire verse. And has brought me forth from the subjugation of Egypt and Babylon. While Hirsch is the only one to understand Chaloti as deriving from Chilul, profanation. He still agrees in principle with the above. He thus writes, Chalal is to be profaned. Israel thus says, my becoming profane, herein lies the explanation for what would seem like a change in the right hand of the Most High. Actually, neither God nor his loving right hand have changed. It is only I that have changed for the worse, for I have forfeited the sacred character of my life. I thought it was God that had changed, but it was actually a change in me that necessitated a type of divine discipline and guidance, different from that which I have experienced in the past. Another commentator, Dat Mikra, from Rabbi Harav Cook's writings, translates Chaloti as my prayer.
from a verse in Exodus 32, Vachal Moshe, Moshe entreated, and understands our verse thus: after having complained, I now understand that I have no recourse but to pray and entreat. Lehitpalel ulichalot Hashem, and my prayer is Shenot Yamim Elyon. May the Most High awaken his right hand again. We're going to stop here. We're almost out of time. We would not finish all 21 verses. And by stopping at the 11th verse, it's essentially halfway through. So there's a few minutes left if you have any questions. And while you're unmuting yourselves, I remind you that we have a class tomorrow night for the Zohar on the Parashah of Yitro. That our 10:30 class Sunday morning has to do with Tu B'Shvat, the holiday of the New Year of the Trees. And our 3 o'clock class tomorrow has to do with continuing our study of advanced reincarnation. I bid you all Shabbat Shalom. Have a beautiful Sabbath, a beautiful holiday, Chag Sameach. We will speak soon. Shalom Gadol. Are there any questions? Are there
no
any questions?
No questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom to all.